Hello everyone, this is Abby Bejo from Lake Health and Wellbeing, and welcome back to our new podcast where we'll be giving you health news, views and interviews in just 5 minutes. In today's episode, we'll be exploring ultra-processed food. What is it? And is it detrimental to our health? So let's get into it. So this topic came about because a couple of weeks ago, research was published exploring the eating habits of 19 European countries. The study found that households consumed a significant amount of ultra-processed foods, ranging from 10.2% of food consumed in Portugal to over 50% of food consumed in England being ultra-processed food. Now the question is, what exactly is ultra-processed food? Is it actually a categorization of food that is based on research or some kind of substance, or is it some just really cool, trendy term? Well, we looked into this, and the term ultra-processed food comes from a food classification system called NOVA. Now, what NOVA does is it places all food products into four categories, and these categories are based solely on the extent and purpose of food processing. So the nutritional content of food is not factored into this classification whatsoever. It's literally just about how processed is this food. Now, the four classifications are Group 1, unprocessed and minimally processed foods; Group 2, processed culinary ingredients; Group 3, processed foods; and Group 4, ultra-processed food and drink products. Now, the NOVA classification describes ultra-processed foods as industrial formulations, typically with five or more, usually many ingredients, and they go on to explain that they contain little or no impact food, which I find really scary. So they give examples of what ultra-processed foods are, and you probably can guess what some of these foods are. So they're things like pizza, nuggets, burgers, ice cream, carbonated drinks, chocolate, biscuits, all those kinds of things. And they also state that these foods have some common characteristics. So they're highly convenient, so they're ready to eat, no work is needed by the consumer. If any work is needed, it's literally just to put it in the microwave and boom, it's ready. They say these foods are highly attractive, and what they mean by that is that they taste really, really good, and they're highly profitable, so they're very cheap to make by the manufacturers. But from the consumer's point of view, they're also very cheap to buy. So these foods, they tend to have high salt, fat, and sugar content, and they also have some fairly questionable ingredients, such as a range of additives and preservatives. So, surprise, surprise, these ultra-processed foods are bad for our health. And if you needed some proof about this, there's quite a lot of research out there that's been done to explore the impact or the health impact of these foods. Now, for example, in the same study that I spoke about earlier, where they were looking at the eating habits of families in 19 European countries, they found a link between obesity and consuming ultra-processed foods. So for every percentage point increase in availability of ultra-processed food, there was an increase of 0.25 percentage points in obesity prevalence. And then last week, the results from a study conducted in France suggested there is a link between ultra-processed foods and cancer. But the researchers were quite cautious, and they stressed that there's more work needed to confirm this and to understand what specific molecules in these foods are linked to cancer. But from their work, they found that a 10% increase in the proportion of ultra-processed foods in the diet was linked to a 12% increase in risk of cancer overall and an 11% increase in the risk of breast cancer. So quite significant. So I think the take-home message here, obviously, is for us to avoid ultra-processed foods and really to get back to cooking meals from scratch with healthy ingredients that are low in salt, sugar, and fat. But in this day and age, this does present a challenge as we live in such a fast-paced society where everyone is constantly on the go, running around, and cooking wholesome foods and wholesome meals does require an investment of our time and some planning. But to be honest, to be quite frank, this is time well spent, and we just need to make this time. When you think about all the benefits of eating real food, it really does outweigh the convenience of ultra-processed foods in terms of the benefits to our health, our well-being, and living a long and prosperous life. I think we also do need to appeal to the food industry to cut down on the amount of ultra-processed foods on the market and for them to stop their aggressive marketing to children of these foods. And also I think we need to look at what we can do with schools, workplaces, restaurants, supermarkets, any industry that's making or selling food, to see what we can do to ensure that they can provide more healthy options at an affordable price. And I think governments need to step in as well with policies that promote healthy food. Well, that's our episode for today's podcast. Let us know what you think about this story. Do you eat a lot of ultra-processed food? Did you know what ultra-processed foods were? Are you likely to make a change and avoid them? Let us know in the comments section below what you think about this topic. Thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to seeing you next week in our next episode. Take care.